Note the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It is official. The Oklahoma City Thunder, for the first time in their franchise history, are the NBA champions with a game 7 win, 103-91, against the Indiana Pacers. I'm Mamutsi, joining me as always for these NBA finals, two champions in their own right, Coach Brennan Sir and the legendary Christopher Thomas. Fellas, how are you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, hey, sir. CT, all good?
All good.
You still repping that Pacers hat, or are you throwing that away quickly?
Nah, it's here.
It's on your head. It's on your head, I think.
Well, no. That's my Nike brand.
So, talk to me, guys. Obviously, the headline from this game, other than Oklahoma becoming champions, is the devastating injury to Tyrese Haliburton, which looks like an Achilles injury coming off a calf injury that he picked up earlier in the playoffs. And, I mean, you know, Jason Tatum, Damian Lillard, and now Tyrese Haliburton, all in this playoff run alone, have suffered the same injury. Obviously, that's not to take away from what Oklahoma did. However, it did drastically alter the impact of this game, because Tyrese, before he went out, in the first 7 minutes, he had 9 points. He was cooking. Indiana were flowing. They were playing great. Coach Sir, you mentioned in the last episode, all it takes is one injury to a key player, and we got it. Give me a breakdown of what happened tonight.
Terrible, terrible, tragic injury by him, and the irony of him and Tatum, two guys that are just premium performers, both being are trained CT by Drew Hanlon, you know, and it's really tragic to have any of your clients ever get hurt, but to have it happen when you're playing in the playoffs is just an awful thing to happen. And it's really sad, and it just changed the game immensely. It changed the emotions of the team when a player of that caliber goes out. They hung around, they played hard and stuff. They played hard the whole game, but, you know, they just missed that extra guy. They didn't get any help at all from their front court. You know, Obi Toppin has zero for the game. You know, the guy that was an X factor in some of the games. You know, and again, one of the best free agent big men in the league, Miles Turner, another disappointing game, 6 points. When you don't have your people perform, it's so difficult. So I thought, you know, TJ was incredible again, but they didn't get a punt. Mathurin was fabulous off the bench again. But their effort was great. Unfortunately, it was a poorly played game as far as, but I really expected it in a game 7, because players play so hard. There's so much emotion. There's so much tension. And when you have a team that wins shooting 43s and 25% from the three, and the other team, and OKC shooting 40% from the game, field goal percentage, you know, that's not a game that you expect to win, even at home.
I mean, with Indiana having 21 turnovers, that's a difference maker. You know, the game was close up until halftime. Indiana were actually up one at the half. And it was that third quarter where, you know, they really, really struggled, with the exception of TJ McConnell. I think TJ McConnell scored 12 points. And in that 8.5 minute stretch, he was the only Pacer to score.
Yeah.
It was interesting because Pascal Siakam spent like 7 minutes on the bench in that third quarter. And I understand you might want to save him for the fourth. But in a game like this, where you see the 1 point lead you have, you know, Oklahoma started the third quarter with 3 straight offensive rebounds to take a 5 point lead within 40 seconds. So, you know, you got to get your guys out there. Pascal Siakam played 37 minutes in the entire game. If Tyrese Haliburton goes down, I'm sorry, Pascal, but I'm playing you every single minute of the game. I don't understand.
And you have to get more than 13 shots for the game. He's a guy that needs 20 to 25 shots to have a chance. In the fourth quarter, when they went small, you know, they had OKC for a time had no big men on the court. All you needed to do is post them up, you know, every time down the court. No one could stop them anyway. So I think it got a little frenetic, and I think, you know, they kind of lost their heads a little bit, Indiana, unfortunately. You know, the officiating was something I expected when I saw the crew. It was a nice crew. nice crew in a very hostile
No Scott
environment.
Foster.
Yeah, and I thought that was a mistake by them taking him off the game. You know, it's you don't take your best official in the league off a game. I don't care, you know,
It just
what
made it
people
a
think.
thing. That was unruly for the NBA to do that.
It seems like the league cares about what the fans say quite a lot nowadays. You know,
yeah, they
there's
do.
been things
They really they do.
They do.
And there's been things all playoffs long, and it's like,
and that's not the right way to run a business, frankly. You know, you run the business because you do things the right way. But that was, you know, I thought they should have had him on the game, and that's the wrong thing. When you have the guy that's ranked 1, 2, or 3, not in a game 7, and he's available and supposed to be there, that's not right, you know.
Yeah.
Well, back to the game, you know, CT, I wanted to get your opinion on this. Obviously, TJ McConnell, when Haliburton goes out, now his role has increased. But, you know, these guys, bench guys, they're kind of used to playing about 20 minutes. They condition themselves to play their role perfectly. It did look like after that scoring spurt in the third quarter, towards the end of the quarter, he kind of ran out of gas. There was a few possessions, like offensive rebounds, he'd usually run in and steal, getting back on defense. You could tell that it was really taking his impact. And you saw that as well in the fourth quarter. From, you know, kind of a player conditioning perspective, what was your take on that?
Well, first, let me say shout out to Drew Hanlon and all the other noted NBA trainers for doing what they do. These injuries are they're conspicuous. They're unordinary. And I wouldn't put it on the trainer necessarily unless I knew exactly that they did what I do, is focus on functional fitness first, and then we get into the basketball part of it. So I want to make sure that, you know, we as trainers don't get hit, bit, you know, put under the bus for these players putting themselves on the line and getting hurt in situations of note in particular. So,
well, it's like if this was the regular season, Tyrese would have been out for a few weeks, and he made the decision that he wanted to play because it's game 7 of the NBA finals. I don't think anyone
Drew Hanlon has nothing to do with this. This is every team has their sports performance people, their trainers, etc. They got more people in the medical staff now than they do freaking coaches almost. So they, you know, and they have doctors at every game. You know, they made a decision that he was able to play, and you know, and he made a decision to play. And I always get nervous with calf injuries because they're usually something that leads to something else. But again, I don't know enough to know what happened. I just feel badly for the player. That's all. It's just my only point was it's ironic. It's not. I'm not. Drew's a friend of mine. I'm not blaming him by any means. You know, it's just a damn shame with Tatum's one of my favorite players, that happened, you know, and he was diving for a loose ball, you know, I mean, you know, and his leg goes out. So, and the guy had 40 points in the game, you know, so damn shame.
I say that to say that, you know, there's precursors to injury and hurt in sport. And players know, but players have to deal with circumstance. Haliburton, in this circumstance, it's game 7. It's 25 years since the Pacers have been in the playoff final, let alone contending for a final. God love him for sticking himself out there for the organization, for himself, for, you know, everything he believes in, and it just didn't work out, unfortunate, and in the first quarter of note, which
after such a great start
turned the entire game because of such his great start. He was going after it tonight, and it was early noted that he was trying to win and match any effort, energy that OKC fans, let alone SGA, was trying to offer. So it's just unfortunate, but it just it kind of killed the groove of the game going after halftime. It's like, all right, we're just waiting on the downfall.
Absolutely. You know, it was interesting watching this because when Alex Caruso came into the game, he hit two threes back to back straight away, hit another one just a minute after that. And it was Obi Toppin who helped off Caruso every time. And, you know, if I'm looking at this just from a tactical perspective, I'm saying, okay, cool. We can live with Nembhard guarding Shea one on one. If he scores 50, so be it. But what we can't live with is the role players shooting wide open threes. What did you think of that decision by Indiana with their defensive strategy coach?
No, you know, you play the way they've been playing the whole time. They didn't change anything up. You know, they did what they do. You know, the guy had no points the last game, so you know, you don't go in game planning against Caruso. You know, so that you know, as an NBA player, you're supposed to, you know, help out. You know, and you know, that's not the guy that you're worried about. You know, they shot 25% on 43-point shots tonight, so they didn't lose the game because of that. You know, the guy made some shots. They were still losing at halftime. You know, Caruso got off. You know, someone's going to get off. I thought Shea, even though he's the MVP, I didn't think he played well at all.
He had 29 points on 27 shots.
Yeah.
He made 8 field goals and 11 free throws.
And terrible from the 3-point line again, right? Yeah.
Yeah, 2 of 12. So.
You know, they Lu Dort was awful from shooting the ball, I thought.
2 of 9.
I mean, they were so beatable tonight, I think. They really were. If they, you know,
Do you think if Halliburton doesn't get injured, the Pacers win the
I
championship?
think they have a hell of a chance. Yeah, I think they had a hell of a chance. I do. And that's why I didn't pick a winner the other night, because I thought it could be a real toss up. And I think the Pacers came out ready to go. I really do. And you know, and then their wit the sale unfortunately got split in half. But I, you know, hey, it was a great season, great playoff in general. I think OKC deserved, you know, they were this season, they from start to finish, they played better than every other team. And you know, and you know, and I think they're very, very deserving champs.
Absolutely. Benedict Mathurin tried his best to keep the Indiana Pacers, get them back into the game in the fourth quarter. He finished with 24 off the bench. Indiana did have a horrible scoring drought. I think they didn't score a bucket in the fourth quarter till like the 7 minute mark.
Yeah.
But then they did go on an 11-1 run to cut the lead down to 12, managed to make it a 10-point game with just 2 minutes to go. But by that time, it felt like the final 2 minutes of this game was just a free throw contest on both sides of the floor.
I mean, the game was in essence over, you know, when it got to 21-point lead, and then one thing they do know how to do, OKC, is milk the clock pretty good, you know, because they have good foul shooter with Shea and stuff like that. He can hold the ball. You know, I think great win by them. You know, and then everyone will predict who's going to win next year, and you know, and OKC will be the favorite coming out. I really think they have to improve their front court, and I don't know if they will make a bold move to do that, but I think they need to. I think they need. I mean, you know, at crunch time, they took out both bigs or one of the bigs. You know, and they went very, very small. And I'm not sure you can do that. You can win regular season games, but I'm not sure you can go through the playoffs like that.
CT, what are your thoughts?
I feel it was a good series. I mean, we've got game seven, which is the ultimate for all consumers. I unfortunately think Halliburton going down first quarter ruined any chances. The Pacers had a glimpse of hope to fight for their guy, fight for the cause, going in and through half. Coming out of halftime into the third quarter, they didn't meet the moment. And they probably couldn't meet the moment because of OKC was ready to just take advantage of home court at that point. Even though they didn't play well, I agree with Coach. This wasn't a well-played game as it wasn't a well-played series. No team shot well. No players played consistently high level. We had moments of stardom, but OKC did what they needed to do tonight to prove their point, and Pacers got a lot to look up for. Mm-hmm. You know, Haliburton's got a road, but they got a lot of pieces that they're coming back with.
Yeah, a lot of people have a lot of things to say about Oklahoma and their style of basketball and some of the players on their team, but I think they're deserving champions. They've been the best team from the very start to the very end of the season. Yep. They proved that the regular season still matters, you know, because going through the regular season, they had to deal with injuries to Hartenstein and Chet. So they do have the experience of playing the small ball and having those lineups ready for when they need to deploy them in games. So congratulations to OKC. Sam Presti finally gets his championship, even though they crowned him as the best GM before he ever won anything. So now he finally has a little bit of substance to back that up. Shout out to the OKC fans. I did the watch alongs with my friend Cams, and shout out to Pat as well, who's a loyal listener of the show, who's a huge, huge OKC fan, and my boy AC as well. But I say all of that to say the Eastern Conference now, next season, is going to be wide open. Tyrese Haliburton is probably going to miss the entire season. Dame Lillard is going to miss almost all of the season. Jason Tatum going to miss all of the season. The Eastern Conference is anyone's to get. And I think the Orlando Magic had this in mind when they made their move for Desmond Bane. I think maybe this might put off Giannis from wanting a trade and going out west. The Knicks, once they figure out who their coach is going to be, they're going to figure some stuff out. The Cleveland Cavaliers, they're going to be back. They might figure out their problems, but also the Detroit Pistons. They're an exciting team now. They got a chance to make it deep into the playoffs. So who are you liking the look of for the Eastern Conference next season?
Boy, I ain't picking any of that shit, I'll tell you. I mean, shit. No, I mean, that was not exactly murder's row there. You know, I mean, it was
the Eastern Conference All-Star team. They're
default.
Lucky.
It was by
they're
default.
Lucky it's going to be World versus USA, not East versus West.
Yeah. I think Cleveland probably has the best squad, you know, as far as guys actually coming back, you know, that don't have injuries or coaching change. You know, we'll see what happens with other teams that are going to either do things with trades, free agency, or the draft coming up. I think you're positioned Orlando in a pretty good spot. I think Detroit has potential, but they still have not won a series or a home game in the last 10. So mm-hmm. they better win a home game at least once before we declare them champions. And I think New York's still going to have the same problem defensively, you know, if they come back with the same squad. So I think there's so much has to happen still. It is not a stellar Eastern Conference. And Milwaukee, no, they don't have a damn shot. I mean, you look at that squad they have without Damian Lillard.
I don't want to look at that.
It's bad. It's a bad squad. It's a bad squad. So, I mean, I just think the West has a chance to be really strong already with what Houston has done, San Antonio and stuff like that. I think it's going to be interesting.
Well, OKC are reigning champs, and they have 4 first-round picks in the upcoming draft, so they could use those to make a move.
OKC has two.
Oh, they have two.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I think they have two.
They also have Nikola Topic come in this season, who they drafted last year, but was out with injury.
Let me correct. I think San Antonio has three.
Brooklyn
two,
have a
four,
bunch of first round picks.
They have 4, 26 and 27. Things that, you know, I think you see the teams that have a lot of first round picks, I think you'll see them trading off. You know, I think OKC will take one and trade the others, you know, because they just don't have any roster space. If that other kid comes over, I don't know where he's going to play, I know he's a good player, but I don't know where he plays. And so Sam's, this is always a fascinating time for me. I love the draft. It was always one of my favorite things. I love free agency, though there won't be much of it this year. Trades seem to be the best way to improve your team this year going into the draft. So we'll see what some teams do. But I think as next year we're going to see, it's hard to be a champion and defend it. You know, your target's on your back every night. Injuries, because you played 100 plus games, injuries now enter into it, that all of a sudden your guys who play a lot of minutes anyway, now all of a sudden they have to, the season is, you when you play till where we are at now, June 21 or 2, all of a sudden, you know, it's a very short summer. And, you know, other teams that didn't make the playoffs were done on April 13th this year. It's a big difference as far as recovery. So I think it'll be interesting. And, but I'm trying not to even think about next year as much as I am about celebrating OKC and them. Looking forward to the Summer League
Shout out to
and the
OKC.
draft and the draft.
We did have a huge piece of news just before the game today. The Houston Rockets traded Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, the number 10 pick in the draft, and five future second round picks to the Phoenix Suns for the one and only Mr. Kevin Durant. CT, what was your reaction to this trade?
Very good move.
Oh,
I'm
hi,
sorry. Go ahead,
CT.
CT. I'm
Go
sorry.
ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, go
I'm
ahead.
sorry.
Go ahead.
No,
But I love.
I thought it was a great move for Houston, because they got themselves a bona fide score. They were a really good defensive team, but they couldn't score at critical times last year. They had no real score, in my opinion. Now they have a guy that, you know, this guy, I don't care if he's 50 years old, I think he still can get 27 points a game. You know, so I think, you know, that's a good move for them. I don't think they had to give up much. They got rid of two guys they really wanted to give up, so that was good for them. To give up Green and to give up Brooks. They have one of the premier young defenders in the league in Thompson. And I think that gives them a chance to play Jabari Smith. And now, you know, with Durant being able to play, I think it'll be a pretty darn good improvement for them. And giving up, what was it, the 10th pick
10th
in the
pick, yeah.
draft? Yeah.
Yeah, well,
It's,
they had the fourth pick last year, Reed Shepard, who didn't even get minutes this
yeah.
season. So it
Yeah,
would be a
no,
waste of a pick for them to
and I
use.
don't think he will next year either, you know. So I think it was a good move for them. 5 second round picks aren't a factor for them.
CT.
I think it's a great thing for Houston. And then it's a bona fide great thing for my guy, FVV, who doesn't have to feel like he needs to carry the scoring load that they were so burdened. They struggled to score in the half
Especially in the
court
half court, yeah.
all season, and it was blatant. And now they got a guy that's proven, and they keep their defensive presence with losing Jalen Green, who, I mean, he takes spotty shots and he's spotty dynamic. And Dylan Brooks is, he's proven himself over the last couple seasons to be a gamer, but he's still got issues.
It's nice
And
of you to say that.
he's still detrimental to a team that's trying to be a
Exactly.
contender. And now they're a true contender. With adding Durant, see what else they do in this offseason and then with the draft. But I'm happy for FEV that he can go back to playing true point and has people to pass to of note.
It's
And
going to be
then.
CT. They have to do something with him. Did he opt out yet of his contract,
It's a
or
team
they put it
option.
back?
Team
No,
option.
no. Is it a team? I think it
Yeah,
was.
it's a team option. So they still have the ability to trade his salary, and whichever team he goes to
No.
can cut him from the from their books. Or they can restructure his deal and give him an extension
For
and
Fred VanVleet?
yeah. Oh,
Yeah.
okay. So
Yeah. No. I think what.
yet to be determined
Yeah,
with Fred then.
I think they're going to take it. I think he was owed 43 or 44 million this year, if I'm not mistaken. And so I think they're at the second apron with those three guys' salaries. So I
Yep.
think they're going to try to get him down into the $25 million area,
Yeah, give him some more years.
and give him more years, which I think would be good for him to play on that team and stuff like that. Give him some security. That's a guess. That's a guess. But he's an important piece of their team.
I think this trade is absolutely amazing for Houston. Kevin Durant is still majorly impactful. He was efficient, putting up great numbers even at his age. The only concern is health, but that's natural with any player in the NBA these days. The Phoenix Suns had a terrible record, but if you look at their record without Kevin Durant, it was like 3-17. The games he played, they were actually competing in. So he's going to be great for Houston.
No, Kevin Durant wasn't the problem for
Exactly.
Phoenix.
Exactly. I want to know what's going on in Phoenix, okay? Because you traded for Kevin Durant, you gave up Cam Johnson, Mikal Bridges, and 5 first-round picks. You got Kevin Durant, you did absolutely nothing with him, and then you traded him for Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, 1 first-round pick, and 5 seconds. So now you have a roster where you've got Devin Booker, still got Bradley Beal because he don't want to leave Phoenix and he's got no trade clause, and his agent is the son of the CEO of the Phoenix Suns. And then you also have Dylan Brooks and Grayson Allen, and I think they've got 5 guys now at the shooting guard position on one team. I know they did the experiment years ago with 3-point guards with Dragic and Isaiah Thomas and Bledsoe, and that worked out horribly. Now they're doing it at a shooting guard. They're going to just go through all 5 positions and stack their roster at all 5 positions. I don't know what's going on in Phoenix. It's an absolute disaster. And I'm pretty sure this couldn't have been the best offer they got for Kevin Durant. This couldn't have been the best trade package that they got. Because unless you're going to flip Jalen Green in another move, how does he fit with Devin Booker?
I think it was their best offer. How about that?
Really?
Yeah, I think it was. I really do. Because I think they weren't going to get draft capital at all for Kevin because of his age. And he has 1 year left on his contract. So I don't think they were going to get any draft capital. And so I think the 5 second-round picks were to make them feel good, which is fine. But and then you get and they have to take back the salary that they're losing, so there's not a lot of teams that had stuff. Miami had nothing to trade, like nothing at all. And so I think the other teams that weren't contenders, and this first and second apron are playing a huge role in trades nowadays, huge.
Everything.
Yeah,
Change
there's
it
that's some.
changes it changes the NBA.
This
And
go
let me
ahead.
say that for the Suns, if they agree to play fast and almost play no defense, do the Pacers role of 2 years ago, they'll be fine. Jalen Green is a perfect fit for that. If they want to play
Oh,
all guards,
he's an athlete. He's really
athlete, he can run, he can shoot, he can get to the
they don't have a
rim.
point guard though.
They don't need one if they play fast.
I don't know. But do you know what I find the most baffling? You're doing a trade with a team who owns your 2027 first round pick and your 2029 first round pick, and you don't get either of them back. You don't get your own picks back.
Yeah, that part.
What's going on?
That part.
What's going on? I mean,
I'm a Sparty fan. I got it. Oof, what? Where's
so
my Sparty
Phoenix did this deal, and Phoenix have to make more deals now because they're even deeper into the second apron by doing this, right? Houston gets Kevin Durant. They keep hold of Phoenix's future first round picks. They get rid of Jalen Green, who, let's be honest, was not going to be a part of this team moving forwards. They can make more moves because they own 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 future firsts up until 2032 that they can bundle in trades. They get more room to re-sign some of their players. So, Amen Thompson, Sengun, and Jabari—they're all going to need new contracts at some point, and it
But
clears minutes for.
look at their number there. I think they're at the second. They're 2 million short of second
Yeah,
apron
yeah, yeah.
already. Already with 6 free agents coming up,
Yeah,
so
yes.
they're in cap hell right now.
But it'll
Houston,
be worth it.
yes.
It'll be worth it if they can get to the finals, get a
As long as
championship. Yeah.
you're not paying, you're not paying.
I don't care. I'm not Tillman Fertitta or whoever's the owner of
Remember,
the
they
Houston
lost in the
Rockets.
first round this year.
Yeah,
The
but here's the
Golden
thing. You
State,
watched
the
that
Golden
first round
State.
series, they lost in seven, and
To Golden
they
State.
dominated the game where Jalen Green scored. He didn't score in any of the other games. He had pathetic performances. So now you're replacing Jalen Green with Kevin Durant. You're getting Amen Thompson, who's a year better than what he used to be. You're getting Alperen Şengün, who was an all-star and is going to get even better than he used to be. You're getting more minutes for Cam Whitmore. Maybe Reed Shepard could give you something with more minutes as well. So I like what they're doing. And I like this because Kevin Durant no longer has to play the four. They're going to play him at the three with Jabari Smith and Alperen Sengun in the front court. And they just extended Steven Adams, who is great in the super big lineups that they have.
That was a very big signing for them, in my opinion.
Oh, they got Tariq as well. Like, they got a
Tari Eason.
squad.
Yep, bro, they got
They got a they
ballers.
get they're a contender now, adding KD, especially. Let's see what other moves they make or don't, but they're a contender, and they
I
ship
like
the
what they
West.
did. That's why I said it. I think it's a really good move for them. I think they really did well. In the deal, I think they did a good job.
I also think the business side of this deal for Kevin Durant was fantastic. He did a deal with Michael Rubin for Fanatics Fest to invest in that. And the trade got announced whilst Kevin Durant was on stage at Fanatics Fest. So all of the reaction to the trade is promoting the event that he's an investor in. So an absolute chess move from the business side of things from KD and his team.
I tell you what, he had a good week. He just invested in a PSG,
PSG, he had his collab drop with
football
PSG,
club.
even though the shoes look awful, the jacket's all right, the jersey's kind of
Yeah.
nice, but you know, shout out to KD. He finally gets to somewhere he wants to play again, but we'll see how it goes. I like the Houston Rockets moving forward. I love
Oh.
Coach Ime Udoka. I think he's a great coach.
It's
Coach Sir, I'm sure you know.
strategic. Ime was signed to a extension or whatever because KD's the coach buster.
Yeah, no,
It's
I
well
think they'll be
known.
fine. I think
So
Ime is going to be fine. He's
I think this is his last stop of good note, I hope. And I think they got a chance. They got a real chance to contend
And the thing
and win.
is, OKC, as great as they were in the regular season, they were made to look human in the playoffs. You know, Nikola Jokic almost took them out, and the Indiana Pacers almost took them out. So teams even in the West, OKC fans are talking about, oh, we're starting a dynasty, we're starting a dynasty. You guys better watch out because these teams in the West, after what I saw in those finals, if Tyrese Haliburton don't get injured, you may have well have lost game seven. So
Yeah.
now the Houston Rockets are loading up. There's going to be more moves that happen. There's going to be a whole ton of trades. I heard the Sacramento Kings have got some new guys in their front office that are going to try and make some moves. So there's a lot of teams in the West that are trying to improve their rosters
Was
and
that a
compete.
public service announcement or what?
Yeah.
I'm just showing love
Say
to my
it
guys, man.
again.
Someone's got to do it.
He
Someone's
tried
got
to
to
slip
do it.
that in there
I
real
just got to throw
quick.
it in. You know what I mean? I just got to just keep it there. You know what I mean? So,
Hilarious.
I think the NBA season, this season, the entire season has been fantastic. You know, I
Yep.
loved the whole season, the playoffs especially, the more physical basketball we got, every
Hey,
matchup, every series we
kudos
watched.
to one of the best seasons I've ever
Absolutely.
witnessed
And do you know what,
in
CT?
NBA history.
Do you know what? I think next season is going to be even better. I think next
It
season is
can't.
going to be
It
even better.
it's got to keep getting better because I think the players, I think the league, the business of basketball is bigger. The entertainment value is bigger. Gambling influence is bigger. It can't get worse. They can't afford it. No one can afford it at this point.
Yeah,
So,
I hear the NBA doing some cool stuff with their international games next season as well. So I
hey,
don't
I
think I'm
can't
going to
wait for
leak. I don't
Summer
think I'm going to
League.
leak
Is
that right now, but
so
just keep an eye.
I think Summer League is like the spark for the
Oh, hell
next
yeah.
season, for the precursor for the next ones,
Yeah,
incentives
we got the
for the
draft
next
coming up as well.
ones. The draft is
It's
necessary.
stacked. It's
I
stacked.
think the first game Cooper plays in,
Yep.
or the first game, the Harper plays in,
I want
or
to see what happens with Ace Bailey because that's a wild situation going on with him. And I'm sure we
yeah,
can
but
talk about that
even
during the NBA draft.
the international kids, like the first couple games they play in is of note in Summer League more than what it used to be, I feel.
Yeah. I mean, well, every game is on TV, number one in the Summer League, which is great. But, I think. Tomorrow, today for you, Mo, free agency starts with your own players. So you can start negotiating with your own players. This is something that they've now started to do. So that'll be interesting. And then, of course, Wednesday, Thursday, we have the draft.
Yep.
That's always exciting. And then we have three summer leagues. You know, we have Utah, California. And then
Vegas,
on to
baby.
Vegas. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot going on.
And
And
I heard there's a great coaching clinic going on in Vegas this year, as
there
always.
are great coaches speaking at a great clinic. Yes.
And if someone wanted to attend that, is there still tickets?
Yeah, I have a few left in my pocket right now. I have a few. Just go to coachingyoulive.com/2025.
There
Yes.
we
And
go.
then if you needed rebounders and passers, where do I sign for that?
Rebounders and passers.
You're getting the whole squad together. You're getting the whole squad
I
together.
just use my Dr. Dish machines that we have as a sponsor
Oh,
to
well, I can place the cones
see, the
at the
robot's already taken
elbows.
over. The robot's already
My
taken over. How about that?
AI is killing
The
it.
spreadsheet's taken over the
Golly,
NBA, OKC winning with their analytics, and now the machines are taking over the summer camps.
kidding. Oh, this was
There
fun,
it is.
guys. This
This has
was
been
fun.
fantastic. I want to thank you both on behalf of all of the listeners and all of the audience. I have had so many messages showing love to what you guys have brought to the show. I appreciate you guys. A mid-season trade is never easy for the franchise, but we've styled it out. It's gone smoothly, and it's been a pleasure breaking down the games with you both throughout this playoffs.
Sometimes when you put in a sub, the game gets better.
Oh, we're saying Coach Sarah is our TJ
Addition by
McConnell,
I'm your TJ McConnell,
huh?
yes. I'm your Caruso also. I'm both.
I would say CT is like our Obi Toppin, but he had a stinker tonight. He was
Oh
Obi Toppin up
wow.
until game six. Great
Yeah.
up until game six. How about
The poor guy. I mean that poor guy.
that?
That was a low blow,
No, it was meant as a compliment, and I was blaming Obi Toppin for having a bad game today.
Hey, you know what though? He was due
Yeah.
because he had such great performances, such great, attendance activity, is unsustainable, to be truthful,
Yeah.
per his level. And he's only going to get better from this experience.
Yep.
That's why I think the Pacers in the East are a problem, because without Haliburton now, they know they're going to be without Haliburton. They're all coming back,
And they get
and
some
they're all
minutes for
resolved.
the draft pick they just traded for with the Pelicans. They got their draft pick back
Too.
for this year.
Yeah.
I do want to say, the NBA season coming to an end is always sad because, I love the NBA so much. I love basketball so much. However, since game six, I've been to Serbia and back, and I've had a total of 5 hours sleep the entire time. So nobody listening to this, none of you guys listening to this, call my
But
phone for the next 2 days. I
you put
will be
your game
asleep.
jersey on to do the show, though. I appreciate that.
Man, listen, I got back to my house and I just threw on
I
the
thought that
first
was a
clothes I saw.
Serbian Red Star sh jersey.
Oh, no. You're going to get me in trouble
Yeah.
now because the Partizan fans ain't going to like that. You're going to get me
There
in
it is.
trouble
Yeah,
now,
don't do
coach.
that. Don't do
You'll get me in trouble
that.
now. It's a little crazy over there. I had a
Hey.
great time in Serbia, though. That was fantastic. Saw some of the next generation that we're going to see in the NBA in a few years, maybe.
I'm still a Croatia fan. That's from my Petrovic days.
Well, they're really not going to be a fan of you after hearing this.
That's okay. That's okay. I'm not going over soon anyway. That's all
Hey
right.
man, well, anyway, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. Thank you to everyone who's tuned in and listened and watched the show. If you haven't yet, please do subscribe YouTube, Spotify, Apple, because there'll be NBA draft, NBA free agency, trade, so on and so forth, and then summer league, and we've got to keep bringing you the one of the last remaining basketball shows that keeps it real at all times, because I can confirm that no one on this show will play solitaire on their phone whilst the game is going on. I can confirm that for you guys, unlike certain other networks. We'll be back at some point. I will get some sleep first. So thank you
Please.
to everyone who messages me telling me to get some rest. I appreciate you also. And for the last time for a few days, make sure you subscribe to the Coaching You podcast. Go to Coaching You Plus, Coaching You Live, all that good stuff. Go to Vegas, check out CT's camps, Paris, Istanbul over the summer. And until next time, get buckets.